Chapter 2. In my restless sleep, a strange music came to my ears, whether in dream or waking I could not tell, nor whether a woman sang that song, so faint drifted her voice. My eyes fluttered open. I grew increasingly amazed, for the melody persisted. To my astonishment, a flicker of flame came to life in the dark spaces between the gravestones, a torch of sorts, illuminating a fair, but mud-smeared face. The owner, a slender figure, feet playing upon the dewed grass and stone grave markers, approached in the pale moonlight. The pommel of her torch, a bulb of wicker, held several red stones that rattled when she moved. The other ruggies stirred and crouched, blinking at the apparition. A rustle ensued among our group as hands groped for clubs. Orin bent to light our torch and the figure stopped short, a dozen feet from where we huddled. She held herself erect and stared in curiosity at us rather than fear. Rags and furs clung to her slim figure, a stowed hide, head, and all, ringed about her shoulders. Her eyes blazed a fiery blue and were much beguiling. I circled to the side and saw her raven hair hung in wavy curls down to the small of her back and would trail longer if not for the adornments fastened therein. Marcellus huffed a soft sound, rising to his feet. Well, if it isn't a fancy piece of ass calling at our den. Don't you know this is a private club? Febriax gave a growl of appreciation. Looking fair enough, Marcy. We could have ourselves some sport before cockcrow. Aye, Feb, we could. He sauntered forward, patting his club with a palm, nodding at her wolf's hide figure. He halted, sniffing at the air. Ouch. On second thought, Feb, this morsel seems tainted. Smells like, well, I'd rather not say. He turned his nose away. Back, you animals, she cried, her eyes glinting and torch rising in a clenched hand. Indeed, I smelled her foul reek, unwashed body, sweat, and fur, and something sourer still. Regalus gaped at my side, blinking, wiping the sleep from his eyes. Orin leaned on Febriax's shoulder, yawning. Whence came you? I demanded, thinking it odd to see anyone in the cemetery after midnight. Kurdik. Never heard of it, grunted Regalus. No doubt. Tis the old name of a Celtic village on the way to your Roman town Durovirnum. And what business have you here? Inquired Marcellus. I could ask you the same thing. Orin laughed. A feisty one, Marcy. I don't know about you, but I might get over her stink. He made motions to step closer, but she raised the staff and spat. Back to your ale trough like pigs at this will. Take an innocent woman by force, would you? Now you were the one who said that, not us, quipped Marcellus. And what are you but a bunch of petty vandals and rogues? You know, you're tossing some very insulting words for an innocent girlie, he warned. One ragged female against the five of us? Seems a bit far-fetched. What do you say, Feb? Shall we have some sport with this one? And he, Orin and Febriax circled the woman, drawing ever closer. Her eyes grew baleful, she drew herself up to her full height, as a giant might face off with a taller foe still. Settle down, Marcy, I cautioned. Are you that drunk? Relax, ick. You're far too sentimental. Just going to spar with her a bit. The others ignored me. I readied my club to jump in if things got messy. She shook the menacing torch with the colored stones and its rattlesnake echo careened about the tombstones. Febriax slipped on the damp grass and fell hard on his ass. Marcellus's club seemed to jerk out of his hand and whack him on the side of the head. He swung about. What's this? Some hocus pocus. The rattling sound entranced our ears. Orin surged in to grab her about the waist, tossing aside his club, but she flung him off and thrust out her weapon, landing a thud on his side. He scrambled for his club in time to deflect her next strike. They sparred as two gladiators might, justing and stabbing. Crack. She spoke a word. The tip of his club twinkled in flame. His eyes rounded in alarm. He threw his weapon down as if it were an ensorcelled thing. Rotten witch. What sorcery is this? We gazed at the fallen club, but the light had winked out. One would never know that it had ever been on fire. No smell of smoke, no char marks. But her torch and redstone staff still burned as brightly as ever, and her calm and steady eyes gazed at us without blinking. Tricks, my ruggies, tricks, cried Marcellus. Only foul deceptions to fool our minds. But the three of them, Marcellus, Orin, and Febriax, made no further move on her. Regalus and I were the only ones who had stayed our ground and didn't end up looking like fools. Orin sheepishly retrieved his club, checking it for any damage or magical tampering. So, a crazy old druidess in the cemetery. A strange bird who held a magic stick in her hands, the tops of her hair tied in bits of bone and baked mud, her hide smelling less rosy than the hogs in the yard. Her voice rose stern and ominous. This land is sacred, wrested from us Celts by you Romans. It used to house our dead who once rested in peace with the gods. Now you defile it, playing with your hickory sticks on our hallowed land, letting rude sounds slip from your lips, blaspheming the spirits of the dead and the ancient gods. Sniggers came from Orin and Febriax. Regalus and I stared in surprise at this enigma. Disrespectful rabble. How long will it take you to learn the evils of your ways? She peered around our group. When her eyes settled on me, the look chilled my blood. Sure as rain you'll be taken away in chains. Pleasant bashings to you. I hope you all die happily. Be gone with you, woman, bellowed Marcellus. Take your smelly hide and witch sticks with you. He lobbed a clod of earth at her. Febriax started forward. He jerked back at the last minute. Boo, he cried. She spat like an alley cat and took a swipe with nails as long as any badger. Regalus and I murmured dark words. Orin and Marcellus stooped to take great swigs from their clay bowls and belched. Orin, in his adolescent clumsiness, trod on Marcellus's foot. Then they began scrapping again. She shook her head in disgust and turned and walked away. The Romans hated the druids and chased them out of every town they conquered. Likely that's what had befallen her, chased from Londinium. As much as she horrified me, this brazen mystic with her mud-caked face, barn dung scent, and weird creeping around cemeteries late at night, I felt a certain sympathy for her. Where would she go? What would she live on? While the others grumbled and sneered and lay back to rest, I went to relieve myself. In an odd moment, a strange compulsion came over me. I took a sampling of our best wine and hurried after her. Within six paces, I halted and uttered a breathless word. Drink. She paused in mid-step. She snatched at the bowl and raised it to her lips. At least an old druidess will not go thirsty tonight. I kept my distance, wary of her tricks. Any fool could see she was not without means. It paid to tread carefully around that which one did not understand. Curiosity got the better of me. Why come here? She took a breath, as if reluctant to answer. One of my ancestors was buried in that barrow hill over there. She pointed a slender finger to a moonlit mound, the mistress of our lineage, Glorophiliax. Her spirit, a restless spirit, wanders far. I come thrice a year to this place to try to ease her way. Never thought to stumble on others here in the middle of the night. Nor did we. You've not explained why your ancestors denied access to your spirit world. She paused, a scowl tainting her face. There was once a Celtic chieftain who desired her. Borealis was his name. She defied him, being a powerful priestess of the cult of Morrigan. He wanted her for her magic to aid in his conquests of the rivaling tribes. He chained her to a post in his yard, until she would repent, become his willing slave, and pray for his victories, have his children. She would not give him any of these and she died in captivity. The chief wept, as Glorophiliax was fair and more stirring than any, but the damage had been done. She had cursed his name while she was alive, and the names of all his children and their offspring. You're full of evil tales, woman, I grumbled. Despite my expression, a cold shiver ran up my arm. "'Twas you who asked. You say you come from Kurdig. I frowned. What manner of place is that? A village where all the clans come to sing and dance in the forest glade at night. We sow wheat, raise sheep, and hogs, also make wool, the finest in the land. We feast on the spoils of the hunt, the stag, the boar, and we dance around our hearty fires, high and true, roaring towers they are, singing our old songs that none but us can remember. We wear mistletoe and oak twigs in our hair and give offerings to the wood spirits and the horned gods. Kurdig is a place where the maids are fair as dawn, and the young men are proud of their land and go with their kindred on the hunt and seek new adventures. 'Tis a place you'll not likely know, young hood. A merry place, made less merry by the marching feet of your helmed soldiers. I made a curt sound. Certainly a place more wholesome than the dockside taverns of Londinium. But maybe a bit too pure for my tastes. I turned back to join the others. Wait, she called, studying my face. Want your bowl back? What's your name? Icarus. A bully boy, yes, that much is evident. But rare, not like the others. You're the most thoughtful of the lot. You'll be needing some magical guidance in the near future, prayers at least, but I fear you'll face the worst. Were I a priestess, I'd make a charm for you, something to tether your soul so you don't fly into the sun. But alas, that I am not. Best to quit this rough gang of yours, devote yourself to good service. Perhaps you can redeem yourself. I gusted a laugh. That's a funny thought, woman. One I'll save for a rainy day. Listen to me, boy. Meg has more years on you than you think. Not much will you get past her, but by the blood of Bel, you're on a road to trouble. I've seen much of this world. Our land raped by invaders who build monstrosities of stone and wood and carve limestone pathways through the glens to every settlement, disturbing the natural order. Men who chase us from our glades and our brooks and our fields and kill our leaders and burn our shrines and defile our gods and groves. We suffer, we endure. It's happened in times before, it will happen in times to come. I shrugged and sighed. 'Tis an evil world where progress has no patience. Ha! I'd like to scrub that tongue of yours with wire brush dipped in lye. Her eyes flicked over me in morose reflection. She looked at her worn boots. Yet, one day these invaders, whose same blood runs in your veins and who call themselves our protectors, will leave this rain-misted island. A worse enemy will lurk, more ruthless than any we've seen to date. They'll rape our forests and maids and bathe our hides in pools of our own blood. We'll cry for our old enemies, the Romans, but they'll have long gone. She spat out a wad of brown stuff then licked her fleshy lips before loosing a long breath. In the fanes and the bloody gizzards of owls I've seen it, and the offal of the white wolves of the north. I shivered. A grim prediction, woman. A cold day in Hades it'll be if Rome falls. We'll rule till the end of time. Will you now? Her harsh chittering laugh grated in my ear. Enjoy these easy days while you may, Icarus. Still time for you to mend your ways. I rounded on her. What do you see for me, sorceress? A shrill note entered my voice. The power of her presence had infected me and her words had started to rattle. Best you don't know, boy. Downing the rest of the wine, she passed back my bowl. I saw in her gaze the passing of time and an ineffable sadness crawling across her proud features. It spoke of griefs of generations. This Meg, a youthful-looking woman, puzzled me, and yet I saw her true age flash before me as if she were a much older woman. The image vanished with her wayward laugh. Just a trick of the torchlight. She wandered off, singing the haunting melody I'd heard on her way up. The bittersweet tune echoed among the tombstones, a refrain I thought must be that of a person deranged to risk walking the lands alone at night, which, or not. So ends the first two chapters of Icarus. Read the rest of Icarus's adventure on Kindle. Visit innersky.ca/Icarus. For more gritty fantasy and historical adventure, visit innersky.ca/books.